If you have ever been curious about Dungeons & Dragons, or the people who play it, you've come to the right place. Welcome to Ready, Set, Roll Insight, where you will learn how to be a better player and what drew people to the game in the first place. Now, join us for Insight with your host, Daniel Wells. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Ready, Set, Roll Insight. I am not your usual host. I am Craig, the sometimes DM, but occasional player on Ready, Set, Roll. Today, with me is Daniel, the usual host of Ready, Set, Roll Insight. I threw this on him as a surprise. Surprise, Daniel. How are you today?
Help, I just woke up. He took my seat. Everything's falling apart. Save me.
Shut up. It's my time to shine. Well, anyway, today's topic I thought would be fun to talk about is using modules in your game and how it can benefit or hurt your playing experience. I personally have a lot of playing experience using modules and taking like bits and pieces from them. As of right now, we're actually using a module to play Ready, Set, Roll Barovia. If you haven't already heard us play that, you might want to go and check it out. Dan, what is your experience using modules?
Can I just say this reminds me of the time I think David Letterman was getting interviewed by Jimmy Kimmel? But then you just didn't know who was interviewing who. just a funny thing. Well, dang, Craig, you didn't even ask my experiences as a player for Dungeons & Dragons
or
anything.
Well, Daniel, this isn't your show, but as far as everybody knows, it's my show now. And if they haven't listened to Insight 1 through whatever, then I'm pretty sure they should go back and check them out. But more importantly, we know what your past experience is.
Yeah, true. Well, as far as modules go for me, I've had, honestly, good experiences most of the time. I did have a very bad one not too long ago involving the Stranger Things module because that was just a terrible shit show.
I concur.
But on the general, modules are typically really good and fun ways to get into Dungeons & Dragons and other role-playing games with ease of use, especially because all the encounters and a lot of the story beats are written out. It's just up to you as a DM to interject your own lifeblood into it. But it's very convenient, easy to use, and helps out with your ability to learn how to GM.
So the main reason why I brought this subject up is a few days ago I had a person out of the blue who listens to the show hit me up on Facebook. If you haven't already, you might want to check us out on there. And I was quick to respond. Boom, boom, boom. And what they asked was, they were interested in getting into D&D, but they really didn't have a good starting point. They've messed with it, they've dabbled in it, but they really haven't ever played it. So they were asking me, what's the best way to start off as far as a new DM goes and new players? And I suggested going out and buying the D&D starter set. It comes with pre-made characters, pre-made campaign, and it's even got a set of dice. And the cool thing about it is everything is all included, and you can just hop right in. It's kind of like baby's first steps to D&D. Now, you're not going to get the full-fledged player's handbook as you normally would, but they have a condensed version for the type of classes and players that you would typically see at low level. But as you continue on through the campaign or even past the starter set, I told him that I recommend getting the player's handbook, and then whoever's running the game might want to either get the DMG or the monster manual or anything like that that you would actually need. Dan, how do you feel about that?
I mean, it's called the starter set for a reason. As far as actually playing it, I've played through it times and I've DM'd for it one other time. And every time I had a different experience depending on the players, but it just went smoothly every time I ever played the starter set. And plus having the dice, very convenient, because you need dice to play Dungeons and Dragons. It's just fact.
Real quick plug, if you need any dice, head over to diceenvy.com/ReadySetRoll and get 10% off your order today.
There's just been so many damn plugs.
Like I said, Daniel, this isn't your show. Sit down and shut up.
You got me tied to the chair. I don't know what to do.
Let me get these socks and put them back in your mouth because it's my time to talk. So, I personally have played several different modules. I have played the Curse of Tiamat campaign. That's basically, there's two separate books for that one. And it runs you from starter level to level 10 in the first book, I'm fairly sure. And then from level 10 to 15 or 16. And then at the end, you fight, you know, Tiamat. Depending on what you do in those books will depend on how the story beats go. And I think it was a really cool way to get into dungeon mastering, especially in 5th edition. Because I've been a DM before in 4E, but whenever I first came over into 5E, I was kind of lost. I mean, I know how to DM. It was just stepping into a new setting. And the being able to have a module there for me to read through and kind of set my campaign off of that really helped out. Now, Dan, what all types of modules have you played through?
I've played through Storm King's Thunder. I have played through Rise of Tiamat. I have played through the starter module, the Stranger Things module. Man, I've been through a lot of modules now that I think about it. Just from playing with you all and also on my own spare time. Whenever I like ran games for other people. Let's see if there's any others. I really want to play the Icewind Dale that came highly recommended from Sam Gates. And he just loved the heck out of it. And I really enjoyed reading through it. But we'll see where that goes in the future.
Maybe that's a future Patreon episode.
Yeah, could be.
You said that you've had mixed experiences with modules. Personally, you know, you have hits and misses. I've really enjoyed our Curse of Strahd campaign. I feel like that's been very in-depth and it's really given me a lot to work with. Now, a few stumbling blocks people will fall upon whenever they do the modules is they get stuck in the module is how it's supposed to be. You can be flexible whenever you do these modules. You don't have to be so structured. The book is just there to kind of guide your way. You know, it sets up the story. It's more or less going to say you need to hit these story beats to continue on. But you don't have to follow it step by step, especially if you have a group of players that are more adventurous and you're not railroading your campaign. Curse of Strahd is very good about giving you a map, and it's just like, hey, go over here, and whatever's here is here, and whatever's over there is there. If you want to, if you're titillized by something over here, you might miss something that's over here. And in some story campaigns, it's like if you get there, it's always going to be there, or you might miss it depending on like a time frame. Dan, do you have anything to add to what I've said, or do you completely disagree and you want me to shut the fuck up?
I'd argue how well written a module is plays a very high factor into what you can do with it and how easy it is to use the module. Because, surprise, surprise, language makes for convenient or irritating storytelling. Say you're, like you said, you say your players are adventurous or like to throw a monkey wrench into things. A module's flexibility, as well as the DM's flexibility, come into play, especially if it's a first-time DM using the module, right? The first-time DM is not going to have the same flexibility as, say, you or I will. So a module having a little bit of a backup for said shenanigans can make or break it. Like I said, I'm still using the Stranger Things module as an example. Even though I'm flexible as a DM, there was points where I got you guys into that even my most high level of flexibility could not get us out of that situation, because it roped me into a corner and roped you guys into following me into the corner.
Especially through that labyrinth that is the labyrinth in that scenario. There's really only one way to get out, and that kind of sucked, because it literally took the game out of it, because there's nothing that neither DM or player could have done in that situation. It was literally based on luck. I mean, yeah, you could have fudged the rolls and said, yeah, you guys made it through, but then you're not being true to the campaign.
Mitch, there's nothing wrong with fudging rolls as a DM, but just don't let your players know you're fudging rolls.
Yeah, because then that incentivizes them on fudging rolls.
That's why I typically leave my rolls on the table for you all to see. In a way, we can all just keep it in the moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, if I kill your characters, it was the dice, not me.
I still blame you. I was really hoping to get Brennan on this call because he ran the Storm King Sunder module for us, and I loved that one. I think it was less the story and more the characters that were being played, because I thought it was just, you know, I ran one of my favorite characters of all time, and you guys were being, I didn't tell anybody about the character I made, and I made a completely non-violent character, and he was a coward. So anytime violence was involved, he would run away, or he would try to neutralize the situation. And if I did run away, whenever everything was cooled off, I would come back and be like, oh, well, I was over here trying to keep everybody from keeping the gates from being broken down while you guys were over here jacking off. I don't know what you all were doing. But, yeah, so, and that really forced your all's hand to being like, okay, either he's bullshitting us or he's like the baddest motherfucker of all time.
Well, I think it's funny that that character was really effective. Which is another thing, modules, the only module that really, like, can restrict your character ability is the starter module, right? If you don't have the player's handbook. If you do have the player's handbook and other books, then the starting module can be a lot more colorful and interesting to play through, especially because you have all those extra extra features and whatnot to put into a module that was only expecting pre-made characters. By the way, for people who may not know who Brennan is, if you haven't listened to our Barovia episodes or our Providence episodes that we have out, he is the guy who DM'd for us on Providence and plays Roland Better Than You on Curse of Strahd.
He was also in our side shots of not
Damocles.
Damocles, because he was the
storming crab.
Yeah, that's correct.
Another fun little bit, but yeah, no, characters can also highly affect a module depending on what background you go with or what playstyle you typically go with as a player, such as your pacifist bard. While everybody else was various types of murder hobo.
So, you brought back up the starter kit, and I want to, you know, loop back around to it. Now, when we did the starter kit, I really like that it makes it super easy and fun for, you know, beginners, because that's what this show is about. It's for beginner players or inexperienced players, or maybe even experienced players, to learn something new. When you get the starter kit, it really shows you a wide swath of D&D. You got dungeon crawly stuff. You fight dragons in it. I mean, like, it's the most D&D. But what do you do after you're done with the starter kit, right? You could say, screw it, scrap it, we're done with this, we're going to start our own new thing. Or you can use that as a launching point to start your new campaign. So whenever I started out, I'm pretty sure, yeah, we got the starter kit a long time ago, and I played through it, and I DM'd it. After we got done through that starter kit, I was like, well, fuck, where do I go from here? And some of the we didn't use the pre-made characters. I let you all make your own. And then we went from that, and I was like, well, I don't really know where to go from here. I just got the Rise of Tiamat books, and they look fun. So I kind of fudged some of the language in it, and I made it work. So we just rolled those characters right on over into Rise of Tiamat. I don't know if you ever knew that or not, Dan, but that's what I did.
I did not. I did not know that. Very interesting to know.
So that's what I'm trying to get my point across as. When you get done with a module, it's not the end-all be-all of that set of characters. It can be if that's what you want to do and you want to start something new. Don't feel pressured to stop there. You can continue if you love and adore these characters, and you can take them all the way to level 20 if that's what you want to do. Dan, do you have anything to add to that?
Is this the phase where we're giving our pieces of insight here?
No, baby. We got a whole nother 15 minutes.
No. Well, I mean, sorry, my brain's not working. No comment.
It might have been the 4 or 5 times I had to hit you over the head with a 2x4 to get you strapped up. You would be surprised. He is very resilient. He would not go down.
For the love of God, don't come up to me and hit me with a 2x4 in real life. I could take it, but dang, that would hurt. I don't want it. Again, I don't have anything right now.
All right, well, we'll move right along.
Yeah, skip me. It's got so, pass.
Pass, hard pass. So, my next question to you, Daniel, is, maybe this will get the gears moving. What are downsides to using a module? We've talked about the good things and how they've actually helped us as DMs and players and newcomers to the game. What would be a downside to using a module, such as, not the starter kit per se, but if somebody just went out and bought Icewind Dale, this is their first freaking time doing it, why would you not want to do that?
As far as just using a module isn't bad, but over-reliance on the module and developing that dependency on using modules can sometimes hamper your own DM ability. Like keeps you from getting more creative or even taking the chance of like making your own campaign in the future, which is very rewarding, honestly, being able to make and play through your own campaign with friends. Like I've been on the finishing end of 2 different campaigns, one you led and one that I led with different people, but like I said, it can very much stifle your creative motion because you either start thinking in the terms of a module instead of in terms of what would be exciting for a player and you to introduce into a game. So dependency is my answer there.
So my answer to my own question is I would say skill level. If you go out and buy Curse of Strahd right now, and this is your first time playing or DMing or anything, Curse of Strahd is not a baby's first steps to D&D. Like, it is rough, it is tough. The the module is for a more experienced DM and player. I mean, you can really beat somebody's spirits down within the first section of Curse of Strahd. I mean, can you imagine how demoralized Dan was whenever I killed him with a mop? And he's
I didn't die. I just got hurt.
And he is a experienced player. So somebody that's new coming into that might think this game is not for them. Another thing with the Curse of Strahd, it is very in-depth, so much so that it's almost a detriment. If you don't know what you're doing and you read over these things, it sometimes I have to read it two or three times. That's also because I am donkey-brained, but I will have to read it a couple times to figure out like what exactly was being said there, because they just go so far into in-depth over it. And it's also kind of, I don't know which way, which path you all are going to go sometimes. So it's like, do I read this thing over here where you might not even go this session and go ahead and get versed up, and then come to find out you guys say, screw that, I don't want to go over there, I'm going to go this way, and then now I'm completely lost. So that is another downside to modules, is you got to get one that is within your skill set. You know, I'm not going to go take trigonometry and when I can barely pass pre-algebra. You know what I mean? So that's what I how I feel about modules. They can be good and helpful, but at the same time, they can really throw a wrench in the game and turn people off. Nice.
Very nice. Good job. Excellent host. Man, even I don't do that.
Do you want me to go get the board again?
No.
Well, it's coming down to that time where we give a little bit of insight to try to help better our players and game runners. Dan, do you have any insight towards anything at all? I know I kind of scrambled your brains like a bag of eggs, but
my insight is if you are going to be a first-time GM, I recommend using the module, but don't feel like it is a necessity to use the module, because your friends are wanting to play the game and they want your personality in the game. So if either that's through a homebrew campaign and you're all learning the rules together, or a module, it matters what you as the GM put into it. Counts for a lot, trust me.
That is a good little bit of insight. So, what I am going to say is not about modules at all. If, and this is more of an experienced insight, if you are an experienced player and you're creating a new character, I highly recommend, now this is just like a personal preference on myself, kind of box yourself in a little bit. Yes, it's so much fun to be a wizard and to be able to shoot fireballs and lightning bolts and transmuting stuff and all that stuff. It's all fun and dandy, and you can go through all your spells and I want to do it all type of deal. But I have gotten so much gratification out of boxing myself in. We talked earlier about my pacifist character. He was a bard. He talked his way out of situations, and whenever he couldn't talk his way out of a situation, he got out of there. Now, that really put me in a box, especially whenever my team, sometimes we get themselves in situations that I couldn't talk myself out of, and I couldn't run away. So what do I do? I had to come up with creative, more thoughtful ways about solving problems. I've also made characters that what are those called, where they're part genie or whatever. Gesserai, is that right? No, that's not right.
Ganassi.
Yeah, Ganassi. So I made a Ganassi, and he was a fire Ganassi. And so I thought to myself, it would be really weird if my fire Ganassi cleric is doing anything other than fire spells. So I went out of my way to really only give myself these certain spells, and I wasn't allowed to do ice or anything to do like a walk on water or, you know, type of stuff like that. Because even those, even though in within the works of the game, it was available to me to do, I thought it would be more fun and more creative, and it would put me in a box to where I had to think of cool, creative situations to get out of. Dan, do you have anything to add to that?
I mean, picking a niche for role-playing in of itself is really fun sometimes, because sometimes whenever you find yourself in a situation where the niche isn't happening, like say Craig was only using fire spells for one character. Oh no, the creature has fire resistance or immunity. Whoops. It can be funny just to watch your character panic in those kinds of situations. Like, what am I going to do? I can't do anything. And seeing how you react towards those situations. It's always fun.
It is. It's very fun. And D&D as a whole is very fun. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up here. I'm going to unwrap Daniel from the chair. And as I do so, I'm going to have one foot out the door before he can get a hold of me. Anyway, that has been our insight for the month. Next month, hopefully, if we have scheduling proper, we will have a pretty big guest on. We've had him on before, and he's agreed to come back on and talk about other stuff and projects that they're doing over there. So that's a little teaser for next month. Anyway, that has been our insight. I will talk to you on Tuesday.
Cool. I'm going to go get coffee.
All right, guys. Later on.
Later.